This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Welcome in to a special edition of the whole show today. We are live for Bank of Colorado's presenting this, by the way, our UNC Hoops special, getting to know this roster. They have a fun trip coming up. They're going to Puerto Rico this weekend, so they're getting some extra practices in this week. And we got together with Coach Smiley and thought, this is all self-serving, because I don't know a lot of these dudes yet. And I said, I want to come out and get to know this team a little better. What better way to do that than watch some practice and then bring everybody on before we start doing that when practice ends today? We're out here. Practice is literally happening. We got former UNC Bear, although he's got a Bears jersey on right now, so he's looking good. Quinn Danker, Lou Henson, mid-major player of the year finalist, Big Sky player of the week like 400 million times, it seemed like. Just an absolute stud to watch play, and an even better human being. Quinn Danker, good to see you, my friend.
Brady, thanks so much.
Man, it's awesome to see you out here, you know, and just talking to the team a little bit, and you know, giving some of your wisdom to this young group out here.
Oh yeah, no, it's an absolute pleasure to be out here. I Coach Smiley, actually, I saw Coach Smiley in Vegas a couple weeks ago. So I was in Vegas for summer league and doing that whole thing and training out there. And Coach Smiley was able to meet up because he was recruiting for UIPL, and so we got dinner. And we were just kind of like, all right, when can you come out? Because I want to be able to come out and enjoy, and like see these guys before I have to start my season. And fortunate enough that my season won't start till later, too. So it's pretty cool just to be able to be out here, be with all the guys, my old teammates, and get to know the new guys and everything else, and just see if I can talk to them a little bit and try to pour in some of my wisdom, because I've been in college forever. So
well, there's part of my brain with the confusion that goes into college athletics.
Oh
now, I walk in and I see Quinn, and I'm like, oh wait, he's got another.
He got a sixth year.
I mean, and I don't even like second guess that anymore. I just go, oh, maybe. But we know that's not the case. What is next for you? Because I know basketball is nowhere near done for you.
100%. I'm going to play professionally. In what capacity, we don't know yet. So what my agent has been telling me recently, I don't want to say anything if it's not finalized yet, but right now we've gotten some offers for G League,
awesome.
And so there's a good possibility of me being in the G League next year, which I'm really excited about. There were some good foreign contracts, but my goal is to play in the NBA, and so I want to give it, I feel like that's the dream that God put in my heart, so I want to go give it my best shot and go chase after it, and I'm no stranger to the grind, so I'll go grind in there for a little while.
What is that process like? Because when we were talking off the air a little bit, you're like, you're trying G League, not 100% sure yet, and you're not going through, you're not giving us, we don't know the details yet of what team.
Yeah.
But what is that process like? Is it almost like a transfer portal, so to speak, where you're in there, and then teams will figure out, you know, hey, this is the guy we want.
Yeah, so it's actually a crazy process. So before, I left school early in April. And then I signed with an agent. I signed with Bill Neff from Saga Sports. And his agency actually is based out of Sacramento.
Okay.
And so I moved to Sacramento, and I was living in Sacramento for like 3 months just training. I came back to Greeley for a little bit, but I was just kind of just thugging it out in Sacramento, just like doing my thing, training every day, head down, just working. And it was awesome. It was great because that's close to home, so I'd get to go home on the weekends, do that kind of thing. But my entire reason for being there was training to go do NBA pre-draft workouts. And so I ended up getting an NBA pre-draft workout with the Nuggets. I did that, and that was awesome. And I didn't get drafted, but that was what that workout was for. And then after that, we went to Vegas, and we had a couple pro day opportunities, different things like that. I got a lot of really cool opportunities out there in Vegas that we can discuss later. But that was cool. And then I was able to do a pro day workout where there was like 15 teams there. And so then that's all evaluating for G League stuff. And there's also a G League draft that happens, and that's in early October.
Okay, so that's around the corner.
And so, weirdly enough, normally if you're an all-league guy, you automatically get put into the G League draft. Big Sky, for some reason, they kind of say, oh, you have the option. My agent and I are going to pull myself out of the draft so that I'm not landlocked to whatever team drafts me. So now we have received offers, so now we're just trying to figure out what's the best situation for Quinn so he can move up and, you know, accomplish his dreams.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and I've said this, you know, watching you play, obviously the first year for the Bears was good. But last year you were just amazing. And then you get hurt and we're freaking out, but then you bounce right back and you're amazing again. I looked at this guy. I'm like, there's a base there. There is a real base of a professional basketball player. What changed for you? Because you were a good player at Idaho too.
Mm-hmm.
But it did seem like once you got here to be with UNC, that's when we started to see like this extra level player.
I tell everybody this. My work ethic has never changed, but the thing that changed the most for me was the muscle that everyone for some reason never works out is your brain. I really dove into the mental aspect of sport and understood that, like, obviously I'm huge on my faith. It's something we talked about a bunch before.
Sure.
But also just diving into the mental aspect of sport. It's 90% mental, 10% physical. And if it's 90% mental, why aren't people working on their brain? Because, like, for example, you break your hand. Like, for a lot of people, that's like a debilitating thing mentally for people, as they think, like, oh, I'm going to be out forever. You know, I'll be out for 3 months. No idea. But by the grace of God and from just work ethic going in with Matty Ford, our athletic trainer, and just, like, sticking to it, I was able to get back in 11 days just in time for Colorado. And I think that's something that I didn't have when I was at Idaho, and I learned my first year here at Northern Colorado, was that life is, you're going to have so many ups and downs, and you have to stay even keeled through it, but you can't if you're not working on your mental every day. Like, if you're not diving in and doing mental exercises, if you're not reading books, if you're not actively trying to grow that muscle and just dial yourself in mentally so that nothing can faze you, and then also be able to lead other people, and because, you know, elevation here in Greeley, it's easier for you to get tired, but the first thing that gets tired is your brain. And so that's how mistakes happen, turnovers happen. You don't read things quick enough. And so I was like, you know what, I feel like in order to make the biggest jump and the next separation, it needs to be the brain.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because the first time we ever interviewed you was over phone. It was right when we could officially talk about you transferring from Idaho to UNC. And I remember getting off the phone going, that guy has his you-know-what together. Mm-hmm. That guy's going to be a coach someday whenever the playing days are done. So for a guy like you to say, I needed to work on the mental part even more, again, that's part of that reason
100%.
Where you grew and you saw that grow in your game so much. What I love about your story, too, is when you first came to UNC, they had a starting point guard. Jaron Riley. So you knew, okay, I can compete, but there's a good chance I'm coming off the bench, mm-hmm. and that's all good. That selfless attitude is also what does carry on to the next
100%,
level.
100%. Yeah, because, like, for example, if the G League ends up being the route, that's going to be a grind.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's they're going to look at me and be like 6'3 white guy, you know, from the Big Sky Conference, not a Power 5. So it's always going to be a grind. And I, like I said, I'm no stranger to it. Coming from junior college to Division II to Idaho to here, like, every it's been a progressive step every time. And so I'm just grateful for my journey, because I know God moved everything the way it was supposed to, so that I would be best equipped for this now, to be a pro.
What is it like for you coming back and just watching practice and seeing these guys, man?
It is awesome. Like, I'm reminiscing a lot, and I miss it so much, just because I miss these practices. Like, they're doing advantage drill right now, and I used to love advantage drill.
Now, what is advantage drill? I'm seeing it, but you explain it to our listeners.
So basically right now, the blue has the advantage on offense, and the reason they have the advantage is because they're not starting with a defender guarding you one-on-one. The defender is actually starting behind the offensive player. It's 3-on-3, but they're almost starting 3-on-2, and then the on-ball defender has to get back into the play. So it's a multi-purpose drill, because, one, if you got to play off closeouts. So, like, for example, Campbell Blogg is guarding the ball right now, and he's got to be able to fight to get back in the play, and then Keontae Tramble has to be able to keep his advantage that was given to him and then make the right play and score or pass out of it.
The broadcasting career is probably in the future too, Quinn, because you just set that up beautifully. Yeah, play-by-play, color, something. Something's there,
you're
man. That was
me.
Great practice stuff. We were joking earlier when we walked in. We're like, how loud is it going to be in here? Do you think we should go tell Coach Smiley? Should we just call like a three-hour quiet practice? Do you think that would be possible?
No.
The weirdest basketball practice in the history of the world if that happened.
Oh, 100%. And honestly, I think Coach Smiley wants this practice to be even louder, judging by his body language right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a loud practice. Guys are huffing and puffing, working hard, but I think he wants it to be even louder. And I love it. He's on edge right now, too. They play games in 2 days, three
I know,
days.
Right?
It's nuts.
That's a cool story, too, with this whole Puerto Rico trip. Is this like J.J. Barea's
facility kind of thing?
Yeah, when Coach talked to us a lot throughout the summer as far as summer practices, I thought of you a lot because Coach was talking about needing more vocal leaders, needing more leadership out there. From what you've seen, who do you think is that guy who's kind of stepping? Maybe it's the guy we're getting ready to talk to with Egan Shields, but who do you kind of see stepping out? Is it a newcomer? Is it a guy that you played with last year?
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting question because there's a lot of guys on this team that are new guys that do have a voice. But I can attest to this because of when I first came here, I was always vocal, but sometimes I didn't know necessarily what to say because I was still figuring things out myself.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's summertime right now. Like, you have limited practice hours because of Kara and all that other stuff. And so there's a lot of guys out here that have voices, but I don't know if they're comfortable enough using them yet because they're still trying to figure it out on their own. So I think as time progresses, once guys kind of figure themselves out, figure out the role, figure out what's expected of them and know how to hold the standard, I think there are going to be certain guys out there that their voice will come out even more and they'll be able to use it in a way that's constructive to help other people. Like I think number two, Keontae Tramble, just in the times I've seen him, he's got a voice to him. I think Andrew Crawford coming from Boulder, have a voice to him. Campbell blocked his second freaking day here, and he's from Australia, and he's already been using his voice a lot. So I think those are three new guys. And then obviously Egan Shields, Vincent Delano, different guys like that are going to be ones that need to use their voice just because there's going to be a huge role that's expected of them. But then they're also, like, they've earned it. Like, they've been, their experience, they've been in different places. Vince has been at two different schools. Egan's been here for 3 years. It's time. So I think, like, guys are starting, you see it. You start to see these guys molding into their role. And they're, like, I had to grow mentally. These guys are growing in their leadership.
You talk about Campbell Blogg, obviously interesting story, an Australia guy. You know, we always said, you know, Jared really from Australia, but doesn't sound Australian,
yeah.
So I was very confused. And we all know his background
100%.
Now. But Campbell Blogg, that's a full
Australian
right there.
Yeah, 100%. That kid's a dog. I'm not going to lie to you. I've loved getting to watch him play just in the times he's here because he's figuring all this out for the first time. Like, they just hit one of our new ball screen coverages, and everyone's been doing it all summer long, and he just hopped in. He looks like he's been doing it forever.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you can tell that the professional basketball they've been playing in, because he's playing really good. He's playing for Melbourne United over, and that's a great ball club in the NBL. So he's obviously experienced. He learns quick, and that's an attribute from a basketball player that kind of gets overlooked. Like, how quickly can you learn? How quickly can you adapt? And that's something he does really well.
Talk to me about Andrew Crawford. That's another one that's interesting to me. Played for CU last year and came over here. Kind of reminds me of a guy that was before you, but you probably know the history of the Bears. Dalen Kuntz was CU guy, came to UNC, became a really good player.
Really good player.
And I'm just curious to see if that's kind of a similar story we're going to see with Andrew Crawford.
Yeah, no, I think Andrew looks great. And the other thing about him, too, is he's what, 6'6"? I don't know how tall he is, but they have him
6'8" listed.
They have him playing everywhere.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a kid who's multi-purpose talented. Like, he can pass the ball, he can defend, he can shoot, he can score, he can play him on the ball, off the ball. So I think he's going to be a really he's super talented, and I think he's going to be a big prospect for them. And I'm excited to see how he develops and also how Coach chooses to use him. Because that's a guy you could use in so many different ways in this offense.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see him. We'll take a quick break here, Quinn. Quinn Danker joining us, co-hosting with me. Don't keep doing this, man, because we're going to offer you a job, you know, and you're going to be like, wait, basketball? We might just stick around and get to see Micah and Derbs all the time, hang out at the station every single day. Quinn Danker's joining us. We got a UNC basketball summer special thanks to Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Practice will end here at noon today, and then we're going to start bringing in all the players. The coaches will join us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But Quinn is awesome, so appreciate his time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show live from UNC basketball practice on campus, thanks to Bank of Colorado. We'll take a short break.
tonight, starting at 5 p.m., Preps Radio will be live for training camp coverage of the Briggsdale Falcons, brought to you by Agricultural Accounting.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to our special edition of The Whole Show, thanks to Bank of Colorado. It's kind of our get to know this roster, something we hope to do each and every year, and the timing just worked out perfectly to get out here a couple of days before they head to Puerto Rico, and we were able to line it up with getting Quinn Denker out here too, so we could have you join us to be kind of co-host on this today, man, and setting up practice for us. It's amazing.
Oh, it's a dream. Are you kidding me? When Smiley texted me, he was like, "Hey, let's do it with Brady." I was like, "Dude, I'd love to."
We're going, I miss Brady. We're going through like how to set this up, and hey, what's it going to look like before practice? And he's like, "Dude, Quinn's going to be there, so let's just get Quinn on." Makes it easy for me, man. Like I said, I can just hand it to you, and you can tell us exactly what we're seeing out there on the floor. Is it weird to you to see? Obviously, they're doing stuff that you knew all about the last 2 years. Is it weird to sit here and watch that? Obviously, an experience that when you got hurt last year.
Yeah.
But just kind of you're moving on without the Bears, and the Bears are moving on. How strange is it, man?
It is weird. And you know what? I really thought, like, that's why I don't know. You asked me earlier if I'd ever want to be a coach, and I really don't know. Because the one thing is I hate watching basketball practice more than anything, because it's like I just want to be out there playing.
Yeah.
Like, I love playing so much. That, like, even in this practice right now, I want more than nothing just to take all those reps and just play, because it's just fun. Like, and this drill they're specifically doing right now is called three ball, and it is my favorite drill that Coach Smiley has ever come up with. And I tell him all the time, I would do anything to do 2 hours straight of three ball drill.
All right, so explain this drill.
So basically, there's three guys. There's like two guys on the wings, one guy on the top of the key, and then there's always one guy in the corner. He's going to throw the ball out to one of the top three guys, and it's a five-on-five drill. The post will always start low in the dunker spot, it's basically to work on ball screen coverages. It's a multi-purpose drill. Offense is going to learn to use ball screen, use the ball screen and play out of it, and then Coach Smiley will manipulate. He'll tell someone to cut through. He'll tell someone to slide over just to try to mess with the ball screen defense. But then it's also the defense has got to work on their ball screen coverage no matter how they try to get into a ball screen. And so it's just me loving ball screens. It's just constant half-court ball screens. So, for example, he sent Tanner three. He pushed that guy over a little bit. Now Andrew Crawford's got a slide and manipulates a tag. That should have been one more pass to Tanner. But Steven's going to shoot a three. Made it.
He's a talented kid. That's a good shot right there,
100%.
Too,
and so then everyone slides over, and you just keep going. And you play for time. So it's they're going for 3 minutes probably. Good skip by him. Campbell Blogg, step back, bucket, Melbourne United.
Oh, wow.
So,
that was a fun drill. Beautiful. Wow. Well, and what I'm always so amazed with watching you guys, and not just in the games, but when I come out to practice, is how fast everything is.
100%.
Like, you guys move. I don't know how coaches make heads or tails of it when they're evaluating you guys, because it's so quick.
Oh, it's super quick. And honestly, the evaluation aspect of it, there's a lot of it that comes from watching film after.
Yeah.
Because obviously everything's got to be filmed. And they move so fast on purpose because they want to play fast first off. They want to play as much like European basketball as they possibly can. We want to play like it's not a 30-second shot clock. We want to play like it's a 24-second shot clock. And so water breaks are really limited. Like, even when you're doing a water break, that's part of our team huddle, so it's really quick, and we're popping from thing to thing because everything's cardio-based.
Mm.
And they're like, you know, we want to start fast in the first quarter, but we want to be our strongest in the fourth quarter. So we structure our practices like that. And so, like, the beginning of practice, we want it to be sharp, we want it to be good, and then he really pushes us and conditions us at the end of practice through our drills and competing, and that's all purposeful. Yeah.
It's you know, again, this group is interesting. As part of the reason I wanted to do this was just to get to know everybody, because last year at this time, it's like, all right, we got the base set. We know Quinn's coming back. We know Zach Block's coming back. We know Brock Wisney's coming back. This year, it doesn't feel the same. And we've even talked to that with the coaches. You know, Egan Shield, we're excited about him. He had kind of an interesting, am I here? Am I out? Yeah. What am I doing? I kind of want to be here. And now he absolutely wants to be here. But a lot of guys that were – our prospects, kind of, at this point,
100%.
Where last year we had three guaranteed established dudes.
100%. And it's you know, it's interesting, and I feel like that's because of the new wave of just how college basketball is moving.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because last year for us, I really feel like was an anomaly. Like, to have three guys to be able to return that are that caliber. And then to bring in, like, we brought in experienced guys like Ebu. Like, the fact that we were able to get Ebu and bring him in like that. And still, we retained a lot of our good bench guys. We're able to kind of fill in. And so it's an interesting deal. Because now I feel like the transfer portal, the fifth-year stuff, everything's kind of opening up and everyone's going every which way. And I wonder if this is just kind of what people are going to have to get used to from now on. Like, it's harder and harder to retain people with money being such a big thing. I wish it wasn't. I wish it was just more about the love of the game. But, you know, there's a lot of life-changing money out there that's, you know, changing things for people.
There's different rule changes all the time, and I won't ask you to get into the weeds on this one, but we've talked to Coach Smiley a lot about it. Brock and I, obviously, I know Brock Wisney.
For sure.
He's not got anything going on with the NCAA or anything. It's been a crazy adventure for him. I know he just left a few days ago to go to Spain, but this whole 5-for-5 thing, it's fascinating how complicated the NCAA is making
100%.
It. It's like, why not just go back to whatever it was, 2022, clean slate it from there and give these guys that fifth opportunity. For a guy like Brock, who played 4-for-4, it would make sense that he has that other year.
100%.
But I don't know. Smarter people than me are running that thing, apparently, or maybe the opposite of that.
Apparently, yeah. I would say the opposite. And it's just crazy because, like, for example, during summertime, I don't know if this is a norm. It was really weird for me. But I was getting phone calls from teams. Not for myself, because I don't think anyone ever assumed that I'd be getting an extra year, but I was getting phone calls for Zach and Brock.
No kidding.
Like, people that were like, hey, so what's the deal with Zach Block and Brock Wisney? We're saving roster spots. Like, there are teams that still haven't filled their roster. Like, there are multiple teams, and, like, five Power 5 teams are like, yeah, we have 8 dudes right now, and we're saving our spot because we think that they're going to open this up. And it's crazy, and they ended up opening it up to 800 dudes or whatever it was. But, yeah, no, it's crazy. I literally had multiple teams call
That's
me about
insane.
Zach Block and Brock Wisney and be like, yeah, like, what's getting scout on them? Would they be great for us? Blah, blah, blah.
That story just kept increasing, too. It kept rolling because it first started out with, oh, 5-for-5. That's what they're proposing. Are we going to – oh, it's happening. But, wait, we're going back to just to 2023, not 2022, just current, I guess, players.
Yeah.
But we're not giving that extra year to those guys that did 4-for-4. And then it spiraled even more. Oh, the case might be won. Brock Wisney now might have another year of eligibility. Mm-hmm. He might go to the Bears. Then they come back and say, well, you can't transfer if you're going to do that too. So I have no idea where it sits right now.
No idea.
But I do know they need to figure something out because teams are doing that where they're like, we think we could get Billy Bob back here, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah. Well, and because there's so much money in the mix, so many, like, I don't know how they're ever going to be able to, like you said, stop or go back. Because now every time they make a new rule, new lawsuits get thrown at them. And they just get flooded with new lawsuits of different. Because every single person's journey is different. And so you've got all, like, there. I feel like there's always going to be one kid who's like that weirdly doesn't apply to the rule. And it's unfair. And so they're like, judge will grant an injunction. And then all of a sudden it just opens a whole new
can of worms.
Opens
a floodgate. It's how it happens, man. It's wild. But you don't have to worry about the NCAA as much anymore.
Until
you're a coach and you said, I don't know if that's going to be something. We'll see.
I will definitely coach in the fact. I just don't know.
You will.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, Bruce Dick is here, Derbs. Bruce, how did that old guy get here? He just wandered in. Quinn, you met Bruce, didn't
you? I did.
You met Coach
Bruce
Dick.
I met him, absolutely.
He's a great guy. Quinn. Do we let you go, or what? Are you sticking around with us for a little bit?
We'll stick around for a little bit until Egan comes over.
All right, we'll take a short break here, but we want to follow you along, man. So, I've got your number, you got my number.
Absolutely.
We get you back on the show.
We'd love to.
In regular times, like throughout the year too, because man, your basketball knowledge, it's just so much fun to listen to you talk about basketball and even the business of basketball too. So we got to make this a regular thing.
Money, and I'll be here till the 26th. So.
Oh, we'll do
it.
Yeah. We'll get you in studio, man.
Let's do it.
Let's come by and get you in studio. All right, 32 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. Special broadcast thanks to Bank of Colorado. It's our UNC Hoop special, our Get to Know This Roster special. Keep it here. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
37 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome back into our special Bank of Colorado UNC Hoops edition here, where we're out here getting to know the roster. We sat down with Quinn Danker a moment ago. That was exciting. And now we turn our attention to Egan Shields. They're giving you a little break here, so that's exciting.
Yes, sir.
Egan Shields, center for the UNC Bears. Mm-hmm. Man, it's good to catch up with you, dude. It's good to see you, man. You're looking good. You're looking ready to rock and roll.
I am. Appreciate it.
what are you seeing out here so far? Guys, just mixing it up. It's a late practice in August, but unique because of the trip to Puerto Rico, so we kind of get these extra practices in the month of August.
Yeah, it's looking good. We got our full team with Campbell Blogg now. He's back, so we're looking good, looking ready to roll.
One of the things Quinn was telling us, just from his what he was viewing, you know, with Campbell, was how quickly he's picking things up, considering this is what, his
second practice
here. I mean, are you impressed by the fact that he's picking it up so quickly?
Very, but you know, he's old, so it's kind of expected of him. But
how difficult is it? You get a new guy here to just quickly kind of. I mean, do you take it upon yourself as now, you know, a team leader to kind of try to bring him into the group, not just on the basketball side, but everything else?
Yeah. I mean, our coach does a good job of doing things so we can mingle outside of practice and stuff. But yeah, it's good. He's picking it up fast enough already that he'll be good to go.
You mentioned it. He is for college. He's pretty dang old, man. Yeah. He's like a senior citizen at this point. What's the accent like, the Australian accent?
It's just Australian.
Okay, because, you know, we were told when we started talking to Jaron Riley, I'm like, we were told he's from Australia. So we get down and talk to him. Well, he wasn't
he's
in Australia.
Until, he's
yeah,
Texas.
He's from Texas. Yeah. So I'm like, where is the Australian? Yeah. But this is not the case with Gamble Block. We'll get the full effect.
The full Australian.
I'm excited
get the full
about
that.
Egan, obviously this is going to be, you know, there's a lot of unknown guys on this roster. Mm. We know you. This is what, year three going in? Is it year four?
Year four being here, yeah.
I can't keep track of it anymore, man, because of all these things with college. Year four for you. Mm. We've talked about you a lot. Of course, Coach Smiley and I on his on the two-man game podcast of this kind of becoming your team, you being that guy.
Yeah.
You know, you were one of those groups, guys last year. We had a bunch of dudes returning last year. It does feel like, you know, this is where things are clearing up for you to kind of take that step 100%. Into that 100% leadership role. What's that like for you?
It's good. Yeah. Like I said, been here 4 years and been behind Brock Wisney, great player the whole time, and learned a lot from him. But it's time to step into new roles and, you know, be a leader on and off the court.
Now, I want to ask you a little bit about, because we didn't know for sure what your future was going to look like with the Bears. I mean, there was some decision-making processes, portal processes, but then ultimately you said, no, I want to stay here. I want to be a Bear.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about what went into kind of all that decision-making process?
Yeah, I mean, that's the college we live in now is guys portaling and the transfer portal I entered and ultimately decided to just come back just because how much I love the coaching staff and how much I trust them, and I know they have trust in me, and I know they can let me do, you know, what I show what I can do on the court, and that ultimately was the deciding factor.
I know Coach Smiley talked about that too. Like, there is, you know, a lot of these guys, like, put your name in the portal, see what potentially is out there, but obviously you were talking to Coach Smiley throughout that whole process, so it was an easier discussion, I would imagine, to say, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with UNC.
Yeah, definitely was. Definitely.
What, you know, as far as standouts here, that's part of what we're out here for, Egan, is we're going to try to get to know a lot of these dudes a little bit better. But you mentioned a few different names as far as guys that are sticking out to you.
Yep.
Who else is kind of, you know, some of these younger guys maybe popping where you're looking at them saying, these guys are going to be, you know, big for my fourth year coming up.
Yeah, we got a good group of freshmen, honestly. Drew Payne's, he's learning, he's doing great. Jeremiah Hammond, you know, he gets some good run this year on the court. Will Gordon, obviously, a walk-on, he's going to be good. I would imagine he's getting a scholarship next couple of years. But yeah, standouts. I mean, Hunter Caldwell, yeah. Other big. He's doing great. Real shooter. Really good shooter.
What's your relationship with like with Hunter? Because you just assume big guys are best friends, you know? Yeah. I mean, you and Brock were pretty tight too, right? So what's that relationship like?
It's good. Yeah, we spent, you know, we're on our own worlds after practice, but on the court, we have a good relationship. And I'll talk to him a good bit about, you know, he's gonna play a lot.
Yeah, he'll be a big part of this team. And, another guy I wanted to ask you about, we just had Quinn Danker on, but point guard last year was really good, but Vincent Delano, tell me about him, because we saw him quite a bit last year, and I thought, you know, his ball handling and dealing with certain teams' pressures and presses, I was really impressed with that. What have you seen from him?
This is going to be his year. Just watch out. That's all I'm saying.
This
watch
the guy.
Out. Watch out for VD.
One of the guys to watch out for.
Yeah.
Egan, while we have you here, man, outside of basketball, I know we're deep into basketball here. We are here in the practice facility. But what else? What are you into outside of basketball? When you have time, what is it that you're into?
Not much.
Really? It's just basketball
get on
all the
game.
Time.
I'll play the piano a little bit.
You play the piano?
Yeah, play the piano a little bit.
Are you good?
I'm all right. I know a few songs. I used to take lessons, but I just play for fun now. Just kind of.
Is it relaxing to you? Or
it is.
Is
very.
It? Is it one of those things you can kind of do to get away?
Yeah. Definitely.
So you have a piano?
In my room, yeah.
It's like one of those gigantic-looking piano things?
Nah, it's a little electric one.
Okay.
Got all the 88 keys, though.
So I'm just picturing, like, those symphony things, and you got one of these big ones, and you're rolling out in the tux, and you're sitting there, man, and you're rocking and rolling with that thing. So you took piano lessons. That's crazy, because I hear division – you know, you're a big-time Division I basketball player. The amount of time and effort it takes to play basketball and be good at it, but also to play the piano, too, man. That's a part of my brain. I just don't have it in there, man.
Yeah, you gotta love it. You gotta like it. It's one of those things. Like, you gotta enjoy doing, enjoy practicing, enjoy.
What kind of music are you into outside of playing the piano? What are you listening to?
Listening a lot of old stuff. I like soul music. A lot of some Sam Cooke, that kind of vibe.
Oh,
yeah,
listen
I like that
to
stuff.
You, man. Our producer back there, Michael's gonna absolutely love
this.
Really? He's a nerd in most ways, you know, he has a very interesting musical taste, I will say that. But, all right, so how are you feeling with this coaching staff out here, man? This group has been together for a while.
Yep.
And Coach Smiley, you know, talked about it in the summer, saying, hey, we're looking for more of those guys to step up and be those leaders. Obviously, your name continues to pop up.
Yep.
But as far as that other guy to kind of go along with you, I know that's what this coaching staff is continuing to dictate.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Yeah, we got a good, great coaching staff. Like I was saying, we got one new coach, Coach Martin, over there in the corner.
I think he's going to jump on at some point today, so we'll be excited to catch up with him.
Yeah.
What's your relationship like with this staff? And I know you and Smiley got to be close because you went through that whole portal stuff kind of together. Where most people on the outside looking in say player enter portal must not like coach or system, and we just know that's absolutely not the case.
Yeah, no, my relationship's great with him. I know I can talk to him anytime about anything, and they'll, you know, be real with me, and they'll help me out any way they can, so it's good.
One thing I've learned about Coach Smiley doing these podcasts with him, I'll tell you, he makes my job really easy.
Really?
Because I can ask one question, and we're going to go for like 20 minutes now. We're going to go for 20 minutes, and he's going to take that bad boy, and I'm just sipping on coffee or tea or whatever, and he's taking control of that.
There you
thing.
Go, yeah.
who's the funniest guy on this team?
Oh, that's a – Keontae's up there. Keontae, Caden Rayfield, probably the two biggest jokesters on the team.
It's important to have those guys, right?
It's so important.
Serious on the floor, but you can mess around off.
That's the biggest part of team bonding, is being able to laugh at each other, you know, being able to have fun.
Does it seem like, again, a lot of new faces, but does it seem like you kind of escalated the team bonding thing here the last few months?
Yeah. I mean, our team last year was so close together, and that's why I think that was one of the biggest reasons why we're so good. And we're on the same path with this team. Everyone's super close. Everyone enjoys being around each other. It seems like so it's good.
It just always seems like this coaching staff finds a good group of guys.
Yeah.
And I know that's important, too. You don't have a lot of selfish dudes on this team.
Yeah, that's a big part of what they recruit and how they recruit. They say it all the time, is they recruit good people and guys who know they're going to work hard.
I've never sat down with a Bears player yet and walked away from an interview going, well, that guy obviously seemed like he had better things to do. I've never felt that way, man.
That's good. That's
you guys
great.
Have always been great. What is your relationship like with Brock Wisney?
It's good. It's good. I mean, obviously he's doing his own thing right now, but you know, I know I can text him and he's going to respond, and
Yeah, he still responds to my texts. Yeah. It's crazy.
Always.
He hasn't been in the news or anything the last couple of weeks. We've talked to him about that. He hooked me up, though. He's like, I can't talk about the legality side of this, but he hooked me up with his attorney, so that was cool. We brought her on the show, and we talked all about this 5-for-5 deal.
Yeah.
And it's insane.
Very insane.
It's definitely insane. But,
very insane.
You know, you and Brock, Brock spoke so highly of you throughout the course of the year. Mm-hmm. I know as the season started to wrap up, he's like, dude, this program is in good hands with Eugene Shields. He said that multiple times on the show.
That's great. I like it. That's good.
He's a good dude.
Great dude.
Egan, my man, you can stick around with us, finish this last segment, and then we're gonna get to know the rest of this team.
Boom. There you go.
All right, we have Eugene Shields all with us here. We've got our Bank of Colorado special, getting to know this UNC Bears roster. Keep it here on the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFDA.
Mountain Kickoff is back. Hear the fellas every Friday at 2 and gear up for another big weekend of football. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
A little piano version of Sweet Child of Mine there for Eugene Shields. As he mentioned, he also plays piano in his spare time, in the spare time that he does have. Welcome back into our Bank of Colorado UNC Hoops special. Eugene Shields joining me here for the next couple of minutes, and then we're going to get to know the rest of this roster, man. We know you well, but it's always good to get to know you a little bit more, my friend.
For sure.
Thank you for the time.
Of course.
When do you guys leave out for Puerto Rico?
Leave on Thursday.
Thursday
morning, 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
3 a.m. wake up, yeah.
What time do you normally get up?
It's
not 3 a.m.
It's usually early.
But close?
I'll be happy with 4:30 a.m., yeah.
So heading out at 3 a.m. Yeah. Are you looking forward to this, man? Because it's always kind of unique. And I'm told Coach Smiley said this is J.J. Barea's, like, facility.
Yeah.
That you guys, of course, Nuggets assistant coach and NBA great.
Yeah.
But this is his facility, so it's going to be kind of cool for you guys.
It's going to be so cool, yeah. Our last year's trip to Portugal was so amazing, so I'm excited.
Coach talks about that a lot and the importance of those trips. And you just mentioned it in our last segment about the team bonding.
Yep.
How big is that? You know, you all get up at 3 a.m., you get on a plane, and you've got that travel process, and then you're there. Bunch of people you don't know, so you kind of cling to each other probably a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be quite the experience for you guys as a team.
It's an experience that, you know, no one's going to forget. Like, going to foreign place with your teammates, your brothers, you know, it's awesome.
When did you know you guys were going on this specific trip?
Well, Coach was hinting at it a little bit, the possibility of it during the summer, but we just found out it was solidified. We're on late July.
And it's a good opportunity because with this, and I don't know all the ins and outs of why, but because of this, it gives you guys a few extra practices, too.
Yes, I know
Coach said something like there was a lot more, but he decided to just do three this week with you guys, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But it does. I mean, every practice is probably pretty significant, especially for a lot of the new faces on this team.
Definitely. And we get two extra games. You get to figure out, get film on that, and start figuring things out.
Yeah, I think the game film and that approach is going to be huge.
For sure.
And I know Coach is kind of really excited when this news came out that you guys are going to be able to go and try this out or do this because of the extra time it's going to bring for you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Guys are wrapping up. You got out of the running today, Eugen, so you're welcome. I think it's the radio power that got you out of the running.
It
so
is, yeah.
Do what you can. Coach is probably going to make me run next time he sees me in the podcast studio. But is conditioning an issue for you? Like, do you care about doing conditioning at the end, or does it bother you?
It doesn't bother. It's good.
Because you guys are, like, well-oiled machines, man.
Well-oiled machines, but, you know, we don't run. We don't run just straight sprints. You're never going to see us running suicides for an hour you know, some other programs, and we get most of our conditioning in 5-on-5.
Well, yeah, I just saw you barely did anything there because you guys were busting it so fast, 100%. Too, throughout the course of practice.
Yeah.
And that's what I was telling Quinn, too. What I'm so impressed by is the speed of practice.
Yeah.
I mean,
Boom, 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 boom.
I mean, you tell me you play piano. It makes sense because I think you have to be highly intelligent to be in a quick functioning basketball program.
You definitely do.
The stuff you have to retain. Not only do you have to know what you're doing, you have to know what everybody else on your on your team is doing too.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of study and just memorizing what you do, but also there has to be a feel to it as well. It's astonishing.
So much work just to get on the same page. It's a lot. But
what is the hardest part of basketball for you? Is it the physical stuff or is it the mental stuff?
No, I love the physicality of it.
I mean, yeah,
that's my favorite part. But man, there's nothing. There's not much I dislike.
I mean, you're a Division I basketball player, so it's honestly like nothing's really that hard.
I love it. I love it.
Man, I cannot wait to see you guys in action. It's kind of unique for us. You know, we're putting the football season starting and everything, but we love basketball here on the whole show. So when Coach Smiley gave us the opportunity to be out here with these unique practices, we had to do it.
Yeah,
so,
awesome.
Egan, I cannot wait. Looking forward to the season.
Appreciate it. We'll catch
up again soon, my friend, and we'll look forward to that conversation.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me
on. All right, man. Egan Shields, center for the UNC Bears. Great guy there. We're not done. We're going to get to know a lot of these guys that haven't been on the show, guys that are brand new to UNC. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe, our Bank of Colorado special. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.